Welcome to the 24th edition of What Would You Do, NBA Offseason Edition. For this team that we'll be discussing, that team is the Los Angeles Clippers. But before we get into discussing what the Clippers did during the offseason, Caleb, where can the viewers and listeners of this podcast find your great work that you do?
You can find me on Instagram at 1CalebConnett. You can find me on Twitter at CalebConnett2. Click the link in the bio and you can find other things too. We got Change the Narrative wristbands, changethenarrative.com, changethenarrative_ on Instagram, Jules and Jim's podcast with me and my dad. Every Thursday, MCS Real Sports Podcast with Matt and I. Somebody can find you, bro. Let them know something. How you been, bro?
Well, I have been great so far. This weekend has treated me very well. And yeah, I'm excited to talk about the LA Clippers. But you can find my Twitter at Matt_Skura, my Instagram at Matt_Skura19. And you can check out this podcast pretty much everywhere, whether you're listening to this on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, iHeartRadio, you name it. We're available everywhere. And with that out of the way, let's discuss the moves the Los Angeles Clippers made. What a disastrous season the Clippers had last season. And you and I, as Laker fans, we were all waiting on the hype. We were all waiting for that Lakers-Clippers Western Conference Finals that all the analysts said was going to happen. Everybody said it was going to be Lakers-Clippers Western Conference Finals. But the Clippers pulled off one of the biggest choke jobs we have ever seen. Up 3-1 over the Denver Nuggets. Up by double digits at halftime. And they lose the series in 7 games. And what an offseason they had. What a bunch of moves they made. One of those moves, firing Doc Rivers and bringing in the assistant Tyronn Lue to be their next head coach. Let's discuss the firing of Doc Rivers. Caleb, did the Clippers make the right decision in firing Doc Rivers?
That is a good question, dude. It's a really good question, dude. Because honestly, I don't know. I think they should have gave Doc one more year just because, like, we went through COVID, Kobe, like it was a lot of stuff going on throughout the NBA this year. It was a real fucked up year, basically. I think he deserved a year of just, you know, a full run through with the talent that he had, but it didn't work out. Ty Lue wasn't a bad option to go with. So ultimately, it wasn't a bad move. Doc Rivers still got to go get some chips with the Sixers. And, I mean, the Clippers move on to a new coach that everybody can buy into. Tyronn Lue has proven to win in the new age of basketball. So, I mean, the belief is there. They know he can get it done. He's done it with LeBron. So, I mean, the rest is just up to Kawhi, Paul George, and the other, you know, 14 players on the roster at this point.
Mm-hmm. Definitely making a lot of great points, though. I think of it differently. I think it was the right move that the Clippers made. I thought it was time for
him. I'm not saying it was a wrong move, though. I didn't say it was a bad move, but I just think he should have been treated a little bit more fairly when it came to it, just to clarify. Go ahead, though, bro.
Yeah, I think the Clippers made the right choice. He's been with the Clippers for, almost 7 years. Didn't even make it to the conference finals once. And blew not one, but 2-3-1 leads. There comes a point in time where you just got to move on from the coach because he didn't do well. Doc Rivers physically underperformed with the Los Angeles Clippers. And even after his championship run in 2008 with the Boston Celtics, what more has Doc Rivers done? I mean, you look at after that 08 run, they fell short in 2009. Granted, Kevin Garnett being hurt that year did not help. You lost to the Lakers in the 2010 finals when you were up 3-2. You were up 3-2 in the series, and you couldn't get the job done. And then LeBron took over the Heat, and your big three era in Boston was done. You go to the Clippers. You have your own big three, Chris Paul, Blake Griffin, DeAndre Jordan. 50-plus wins for 4 to 5 straight years. Lakers on the rebuild. This was your time to gain some fan base in Los Angeles, and you didn't get the job done. You're up 3-1 against Houston in 2015. You're up by over 15 points. The starting lineup for Houston is pretty much out, and you let Josh Smith, not the Atlanta Hawks Josh Smith, old Houston Rockets Josh Smith, decide to get hot from beyond the arc in game 6, and you couldn't close out the series. Playoff choke after playoff choke. And then last season happens. You get pushed by the Mavericks in 6 games. That in itself was a little suspect because everybody thought you would take care of business in 4 to 5 games. Mm-hmm. And then you go up against Denver. You go up 3-1. Lakers were up 3-1. Everybody's like, okay, Lakers, Clippers, Western Conference Finals is going to happen. Lakers take care of their business. They get over the Rockets in 5 games. Clippers lose game 5. Okay, that happens. It happens. Game 6, same thing. You're up big. Choke that one. That's when it's like, okay, game 7. We brought in Kawhi Leonard because he's a champ and he knows how to perform in game 7. And he lays a goose egg. Way off P, pandemic P, George Paul, terrible. Highlight of the playoffs, bricks and hits the side of the backboard on a wide open 3. Clippers lose game 7, lose the series, and it was awful. And that's why Doc Rivers had to go. You can't blow 2 3-1 leads with the same franchise and expect to be back next year, especially when you went all in last year. It's not like you had a regular roster and you fell short. Okay, that happens. No. You went all in trading for Marcus Morris, all in and signed Reggie Jackson, all in and even brought Joakim Noah onto the roster. You went all in because you tried so hard to beat the Lakers when in reality they just beat themselves and they couldn't even get past Denver. So that in itself was what was a pathetic season for the Clippers. And they got a lot of reflecting to do because it's not like they got better in the offseason. They almost in a way got worse. And to kind of add on to it, I like the hire of Tyronn Lue. I think it makes sense that they got Tyronn Lue to be a part of this roster because he's been a coach before. He's won a championship with LeBron. He knows how it works. You know, he knows how to play well with great players. He's got 2 great players in Paul George and Kawhi Leonard. So this is essentially, this is almost the year to try and win a championship, to try and convince Kawhi to stay. Because they've already kept Paul George around, which we'll discuss later on. But the main piece is Kawhi Leonard. How can they keep him on the Clippers with Paul George? That'll be the main topic of discussion that we'll have to figure out and see. And let's move on to those offseason moves. One of the big moves that they made, a surprising move in my opinion, was Paul George getting the 5-year max. I believe it was 5 years, $165 million deal. Caleb, when you saw the Clippers extend Paul George, was that the right decision that the Clippers made, or is that a bad decision?
You know, man, you did mention being all in, them going all in and putting all their chips in, and they originally put all their chips in to get Paul George, you know, and they were able to get him. He was able to already be on a contract deal. I think they kind of had to go all in. I don't know why they did it. I don't know. I thought they could have put themselves in position to maybe land Giannis to the Clippers with Kawhi in 2021 or somebody else. But I really didn't understand why they did it. But, I mean, I think it could be beneficial because at this point, for all that they traded for Paul George, shit, they're going to squeeze the lemon out of him. You know, they're going to get everything they got back, either on the court in points or in a trade or, you know, something like that. But it was a cool move to me. I don't know how to feel about it. What do you think?
I was surprised that they made that kind of move. I thought for sure they'd give Kawhi Leonard that kind of money. But what made the move, in my opinion, more disappointing is Paul George did not do well in the playoffs. He kind of struggled a little bit in the Dallas Mavericks series. When they were up 3-1 against Denver, he pretty much choked most of that series. I mean, I even mentioned earlier, he hit the backboard. He had a wide open three in the corner. Bang, hits the backboard. It was terrible. I mean, there were even memes surfacing around Paul George. Plenty of names. He said he was playoff P, but he was not playoff P. A lot of people said pandemic P, you know, way off P, George Paul. I mean, it was bad. And, you know, he was terrible in the postseason. So I was essentially surprised that the Clippers gave him that, especially after that bad performance. But I also think what that message shows is that they're trying to do everything they can to keep Kawhi Leonard on the Clippers. Kawhi Leonard wanted Paul George in the first place. That's why they gave up so much draft capital to OKC to get him. And, you know, that's essentially why they gave Paul George that contract, was to try and convince Kawhi Leonard to stay. Because if we're being brutally honest, if the Clippers did not extend Paul George, and if they lost Kawhi Leonard and Paul George in that offseason, they wouldn't have any draft capital. They wouldn't have any pieces to compete. And they would be, you know, in the basement, because the Lakers would have LeBron and AD and nobody would want to watch the Clippers.
Simple as that, man. Simple as that. And it almost got worse. Like, we kind of lead on to the signings of Serge. Like, how do you feel about that? You know,
I thought that was a good signing for the Clippers.
Clippers lost Montrezl. So
yeah, like, yeah. Clippers losing Montrezl Harrell was definitely tough. Mm-hmm. Especially losing him to the Lakers, I think, is even harder.
Even worse.
Granted, for us Lakers fans, it's great because, you know, you get to snack him up rating six man. But if you're the Clippers, you're just like, damn, any other team we want to have a problem with.
Hey, they did it to us, though. See how it works? You do it to us, we're gonna do it right back to you. Mm-hmm. Fuck. We're going to take one of yours. That's how it go. Body for a body. Every time, 1-1, boom, 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 boom. Then it go to 2. It's a domino effect. So, hey, we had to get him back.
Yep, it definitely is body blow for body blow. But I think the Serge Ibaka signing was definitely good for them. You know, essentially losing Trez and replacing with Serge, I think is a good thing for them. You know, they also got Zubac as well. So you got Zubac, Serge Ibaka. You could probably start Serge Ibaka if you wanted to, then have Zubac come off the bench, or you could have the other way around. You know, definitely, I think it was a good bounce back from losing Montrezl Harrell. Now, if they lost Montrezl Harrell and didn't get Serge Ibaka, I'd say they have a problem at center. But because they were able to get Serge Ibaka to replace Montrezl Harrell, obviously Montrezl Harrell is a loss. But remember, Serge Ibaka was Kawhi Leonard's teammate in Toronto when they won the championship.
Yeah.
So could they essentially try and bring some former Toronto Raptors to try and help Kawhi Leonard try and win a championship? You know, that's to be determined. We'll have to wait and see. But
yeah,
you know, that's just a great it's a great bounce back move.
Yeah, great point. It definitely was a great bounce back move. You know, he's a little older. I mean, a lot older than Trez, but you know, he has that experience, and he probably will fit a little bit better. And he, you know, he has the chemistry with Kawhi, so it could be a beneficial signing. I like the way you look at it. That's a great take.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely is a good take. Let's move on to one of the big trades that I don't think anybody saw coming in the draft. There was a big three-team trade between the Nets, the Pistons, and the Clippers. Landry Shamet got traded to the Brooklyn Nets. The Clippers pretty much sent Landry Shamet to Brooklyn, Rodney McCrugger, and the 19th pick to Detroit. And the Clippers were able to get Luke Kennard from the Detroit Pistons. Caleb, when you saw the Clippers make that move and get Luke Kennard on the team, was this a good decision by the LA Clippers to essentially trade Landry Shamet, Ronnie McCrugger in the 19th pick for Luke Kennard?
Damn. Now I don't think so. At first, I was like, it's a solid trade, which it is a solid trade. Luke Kennard is an elite three-point shooter, as we all know, but Shamet isn't as bad as, you know, is they thought. Shamet is a solid three-point shooter himself, so I don't know if Shamet at first and Rodney McGregor was all that for. I don't know if that's worth it. I don't know if it's a worth the trade, but just the landing of Kennard period is probably going to be beneficial for them because, you know, they have guys that are going to attract more than one or two dudes. So there's open threes waiting for Luke Kennard. All he has to do is wait, make them. So I think it was a beneficial trade at the end of the day. I do think Clippers gave up a little bit too much, though.
Yeah, definitely a good point there. I think of it differently. I think it was a good move that the Clippers were able to get Luke Kennard, especially after a blown 3-1 lead like that. You have to make some changes to the team, and they did. They lost Montrezl Harrell, got Serge Ibaka. They traded Landry Shamet, got Luke Kennard. You know, they extended Paul George. You know, we'll see what they can do with Kawhi Leonard. They got rid of the head coach, got a new one in Tyronn Lue, who's been in the system before. And, you know, this is essentially another one of those moves to where, you know, yeah, Landry Shamet is good, but Luke Kennard is essentially almost that same exact player. I mean, he's a young player as well. It's not like you're training a young guy for a veteran, you know. You're training a younger guy for a young guy. You know, Luke Kennard's still 23 years old, still can break out into the NBA. And, you know, I think he's going to be a good piece alongside with Kawhi Leonard, Paul George. And I think what this shows me is Lou Williams is starting to get up there in age. You know, he's starting to get old and see if he can carry it anymore. I think this is a move to where, you know, Luke Kennard is going to play a lot more minutes than Lou Williams. You know, Lou Williams is still going to try and be like that sixth man that he once was. But I think the Luke Kennard move was a huge signing, a huge trade for the Clippers. Let's hope it works out for them, because I will say, if it does not work out for them, then the Clippers are definitely going to be in trouble. One of the last moves that the Clippers made that I was slightly surprised of that happened, it was this move. The Clippers re-signed Marcus Morris to a 4-year, $64 million contract. Caleb, did the Clippers make a right decision re-signing Marcus Morris to that big of a contract, 4 years, $64 million?
No, I don't get that. I didn't understand that. I didn't understand that trade. That shit blew me clueless, bro. I don't know why they could have done it. I can't even explain any of that. Like, it just didn't make any sense. But because they got him so cheap the year prior, obviously they claimed him off waivers, but I just don't know if he was worth that much. Like, I really didn't understand the move at all. I think it's a bad move on my end. I think it's a bad move for sure.
I agree with you as well. I believe it's a bad move just because of the amount of money that you gave him.
Yeah.
You gave him 4 years, $64 million. That's almost $16 million a year. Now, I think if it were a two years, $32 million, I wouldn't have a problem with that, because you essentially didn't really give up a lot. 2 years, $32 million. You play him this year. You maybe draft a power forward. Let Marcus Morris basically play out his 2 years, and then you have that young power forward starting to play some. But with this signing 4 years, $64 million to Marcus Morris, I don't like the move. I think the Clippers are gonna have to start him. They have to start Marcus Morris, because there's no way you pay him $64 million to sit on the bench. And if we're being honest, the Lakers might even have the better Morris brother. Markieff Morris might actually be better than Marcus Morris. Even though Marcus Morris He did have a good season last year. You know, prior to joining the Clippers, he averaged almost 20 points a game and was almost 44% from the field and even from the three-point line itself. Once he joined the Clippers, he even still managed to shoot well, 42.5% for the field, and scored almost 10 points per game. But if it's one of those situations to where he only averages almost 12 points per game and almost 48% from long range, I don't think you pay that kind of money, 4 years, $64 million for that kind of player. I think here's what I think. I think if it were 4 years, $50 million, I wouldn't have a problem with that. But because it's so much money each year, $16 million a year, for a guy who could average only 12 points per game and, you know, 47.5% for long range, I'm just not sure if that's a good decision. Just because of that amount of money. I mean, I think the years is great, you know, having Marcus Morris for 4 years, but it's $64 million. Man, that's just one of those situations to where if Marcus Morris does not work, then that's going to be a disaster, because not a lot of people are going to want that contract. If the Clippers have to move off of that contract, it's going to be very hard to get rid of.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, it is. I mean, if all things go bad, the Clippers kind of fuck themselves. Honestly, the only way they're good is just by having Paul George. They're going to get something back for Paul George. Something. Either good or bad, they're going to get something for him, most definitely. Other than that, the Clippers kind of had a disappointing offseason, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they definitely did have a disappointing offseason. One last little thing to discuss before we figure out how they'll finish in the season. They did make a draft pick. They got the draft rights, and this is the second round with the 55th pick in the 2020 NBA draft. They were able to get Jay Scrubb, shooting guard out of John A. Logan College. Caleb, you look at his career stat line. He averaged almost 22 points per game, 7 rebounds, and 3 assists while shooting 50% from the field. Caleb, can he at all make any impact on the Los Angeles Clippers this year? Or is this kind of one of those project players where you draft 1 year and have to wait kind of 3 to 4 years to see how he looks?
I think, honestly, he's a project player, but being that COVID is the thing now, you could probably bet you'll see him in the game this year. But I think he's a project player for sure. Yeah,
I agree with you as well. I feel like he's definitely going to be a project type player, you know, because I mean, if we're being honest here, he's not going to start over Luke Kennard, not going to start over Lou Williams. He'll probably get limited minutes. He'll probably get limited minutes probably towards the end of the season. If the Clippers have stuff already clinched, we could probably see more of him. But, you know, I think it's one of those to where, you know, maybe in the next 2 to 3 years, we'll probably see what he can do. And, yeah, we'll just simply see what he can do, how he fits into the roster. And let's close out the 24th edition of What Would You Do? NBA Offseason Edition featuring the Los Angeles Clippers with how they will finish next year. Caleb. After the Clippers had their 3-1 blown lead meltdown last year, can they recover from that and make a deep playoff run? Or will they once again continue their franchise streak of not making it to the conference finals?
Man, I think they make it this year and they see who they need to see, which is us, and they fall short. That's my prediction. I think this is the year they're going to really go all in and really show what they can do, but I just don't think they get past us. I definitely don't think they have the edge over us. I think we have the edge, and if anybody needs to prove something to anybody, it's the Clippers. So, I think they fall short in the Western Conference Finals. That's my prediction. How far do you have them going?
That's an interesting take. I think they continue history and not make it once again to the Western Conference Finals. And I was so right. I remember telling this to you, Caleb, months ago when the bubble first started. I said something was going to happen to the Clippers where they were going to find a way to choke in the second round. And what happened? They choked in the second round to the Denver Nuggets. I think they're going to fall short in the second round. I don't know what it is with the Clippers, but there's a curse around that franchise. We saw it last year when they're up 3-1 against Denver and they lost that lead. I think they lose in the second round. I'm going to say in six games. I truly don't think that they can compete with the top two teams in the Western Conference. I think losing Montrezl Harrell was definitely key. I think Montrezl Harrell is going to be a difference. I feel like if the Clippers would have ran back the same team, the same players, with a different head coach and Tyronn Lue, I would agree with you, Caleb, in saying they can make it to the conference finals. But because they lost Montrezl Harrell and because you essentially replaced him with the older Serge Ibaka, I just don't think they can make it to conference finals. I think they're gonna find a way to fall short in the second round, whether it's Paul George not hitting any shots or Kawhi Leonard having a bad performance. I just think it's going to happen. I'm one of those people to where you got to prove it to me to prove it to me. Until the Clippers prove it to me and make it to the third round, I'm not going to believe in them. And I don't believe they're going to make it to the conference finals. I believe they're going to fall short in the second round, probably to Denver once again, but instead of it being seven games, I'd say in six games.
Yeah. I mean, you're not wrong there, bro. You're not wrong there. I think you hit all great points right there, my boy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But I will say you do make a good case of they could make it to the conference finals. They definitely could. If an upset does happen, if somehow, some way Denver gets upset in the first round, I think you could definitely make a case for the Clippers making it to the second round. But if the Clippers got to go up against Denver again with this new roster, I don't like that matchup.
I could see them losing to people other than Denver too, like, you know.
Yeah, Lakers, obviously.
I mean, the Lakers, maybe the Mavericks, the Suns, you never know who could beat them. You honestly don't. But I just feel like they're going to put it together this year and just do a little bit better than the usual, you know, push the limit a little bit. I hope. Give us a challenge. Yeah. Fuck, it's tired of
yeah, let's see if the Clippers can end their franchise drought of making it to the conference finals. I believe it's been their entire franchise existence has been almost 51 or 52 years.
And we tired of little brother and y'all. So make it to the playoffs.
Yeah, we're tired. We're tired of bullying you with our now 17 championships. We know the Lakers are going to come through and deliver on their side of the bargain. If you're going to talk all that talk, back it up. That's what we got to say to the Clippers. And with that, that will conclude the 24th edition of What Would You Do? NBA Offseason Edition featuring the Los Angeles Clippers. This is Matt Skura and my great friend Caleb Connett. We are out of here.